Aloha, everybody, and welcome to another deep dive with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, we're always excited to have you on, especially with this case, State v. Wilson. This one is really interesting, in Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's really bucking the trend across the country
Really is.
with kind of this move toward expanding gun rights. Hawaii's kind of taking a stand here.
They have. And, it's a fascinating case because it really highlights a lot of the issues that we see in this kind of tension between state and federal law.
For sure. And so let's set the scene for everyone listening. We have Christopher Wilson, who's charged with carrying a firearm and ammunition without a permit. Sounds pretty open and shot right.
Yeah, you would think so. And on the surface, it really is. He was violating these two specific statutes in Hawaii, Section 13425 and 13427, carrying firearms and ammunition.
Right.
But his argument is that these infringe on his Second Amendment right, and that's where it gets really interesting.
Kind of a classic David and Goliath story,
Yeah.
but instead of slingshots, it's legal briefs. But here's where it gets really interesting for me. You mentioned he couldn't actually challenge the licensing law itself, 13429. How come?
Well, this is one of those legal quirks that is really important for anybody that's trying to navigate the legal system, and that's the idea of standing. He didn't have standing to challenge the licensing law because he never applied for a permit.
Yeah.
You actually have to be harmed by the law in order to challenge it in court. You can't just disagree with it.
Wow, see, that's kind of a surprise, right? You think if it's a constitutional right, the principle of the thing would be enough to go on?
Yeah, it's kind of counterintuitive, but
Yeah.
courts have to decide who can bring cases and who can't. And, it has to be an actual dispute, not just a hypothetical one.
I see. So it's almost like you can't sue a restaurant for bad service if you've never eaten there.
That's a great way to put it.
Right? Like
Yeah.
you gotta actually have that interaction, that harm.
Yeah. And he couldn't show that that law directly affected him. Now, he could challenge the other sections, the 134, 25, and 27, because he was violating those. Those were the charges against him.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've got this kind of legal chess match happening.
Right.
What were the core arguments from each side in this case?
Well, the state really relied on Hawaii's history of very, very strict gun control. And, this goes way back to even the Kingdom era before Hawaii was even a state. And their constitution really ties the right to bear arms to a well-regulated militia,
Okay.
not self-defense, the way that the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution does.
Wait. Go back to that kingdom era.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
So we're going all the way back to when Hawaii was ruled by monarchs
Oh, wow.
before it was a U.S. territory. And this history of gun control in Hawaii is really a cornerstone of the court's decision in this case.
Okay, so really deeply rooted in Hawaii's past, but how did the Supreme Court's recent Bruin decision play into this? That seemed to kind of expand gun rights on the national level.
Yeah, and that's a great question. The Hawaii Supreme Court actually used the Bruin decision in their favor.
Okay, I'm all ears. How do they manage that?
Well, the Bruin decision really emphasizes history and tradition
Okay.
when looking at gun restrictions. And so the Hawaii court said, okay, let's look at our history. And we just talked about how Hawaii has this very long history of strict gun control.
Right.
So they said, hey, Bruin supports our argument.
That's a pretty strategic move, using the Supreme Court's own kind of logic to support their own stricter laws.
Yeah, exactly. They leveraged Bruin to uphold Hawaii's unique gun control laws.
Now, in the ruling itself, Justice Edens had a really powerful statement. The spirit of aloha clashes with a federally mandated lifestyle that lets citizens walk around with deadly weapons during day-to-day activities. What's the deeper meaning behind that statement?
Well, the court was trying to balance the individual right to carry a firearm that might, protected by the Second Amendment
Right.
with the state's interest in safety and, peace and tranquility that's associated with the spirit of aloha.
So almost like two contrasting visions of society, right? One that's rooted in individual rights, the other that's rooted in kind of community well-being.
Exactly.
But how does the spirit of aloha, which so many people associate with welcoming tourists, how does that actually play into a legal decision like this?
It's more than just welcoming tourists. It's really this deep cultural value in Hawaii, focus on harmony and respect and community well-being.
Okay.
And the court's saying, widespread public carry of firearms disrupts that.
So they're not just citing legal precedent here, they're invoking cultural values.
Right. It's almost philosophical.
It is. Let's shift gears a bit and talk about the broader impact of this ruling.
Yeah.
Could this set a precedent for other states that are looking to maintain strict gun control, even with this kind of federal pressure to loosen things up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of states are watching this case very closely. It provides a roadmap for how other states with a history of strict gun control can push back. I'm thinking like California, New York, Massachusetts.
Right.
They could use this case to justify their own regulations.
So it's not just a win for Hawaii. It's a potential blueprint.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so what about the practical impact in Hawaii itself? What does this ruling actually mean for people living there?
Well, it means that their strict gun control regime is here to stay.
Okay.
Public carry is still prohibited unless you have explicit permission from the state, and those permits are very difficult to get.
So no open carry, no concealed carry without a permit, and even getting that permit's a huge hurdle.
Right.
This raises another question for me. Could this case end up before the U.S. Supreme Court?
It's definitely possible. The Supreme Court has been taking a lot of Second Amendment cases.
Right.
And this one has all the ingredients for a big showdown.
Yeah, you've got states' rights, cultural values, individual rights, all kind of coming to a head.
Yeah, exactly. And you have the state saying, we have the right to regulate this based on our history and our culture.
Uh-huh.
And then you have potentially this federal Second Amendment, more expansive view coming from the federal level.
It would be a landmark case for sure. What would be the central arguments if it does reach that level?
Well, Hawaii would say we have to preserve public safety. We have to preserve our cultural heritage. This is really important to us.
Okay.
And they'd point to their history of gun control and say, this is what keeps us safe. This is what keeps the peace.
What about the other side? What would gun rights advocates argue?
Well, they would say, look, this is a fundamental right.
Okay.
The Second Amendment guarantees an individual right to bear arms. It shouldn't matter what state you're in. They might even say that Hawaii is using culture as an excuse to take away rights.
So really compelling arguments on both sides and with potential ripple effects across the whole country.
Yeah, this case could change things.
Are other states watching this and taking notes?
I think so.
It's a reminder that states aren't powerless in the face of these federal rulings.
Yeah, they can push back.
And it highlights how much weight history carries.
Definitely.
We often think about laws, these fixed rules, but
it's always evolving.
Yeah, it really is. Shaped by past choices, it's a living, breathing thing.
And this case shows how that happens.
We started with the spirit of aloha.
Yeah.
And now we see it at the heart of this legal battle. It's really amazing that something that you associate with tourism can have legal teeth.
It makes you wonder, are other states going to start invoking their own unique values to defend their laws?
It's a fascinating question. I mean, could we see a state saying this is the Texas spirit of self-reliance or the California spirit of innovation in a legal ruling?
It's an interesting thought.
Really makes you think, right? Goes way beyond just the legal technicalities. Gets into like what it means to be a society.
It does. And law is not static.
Right.
It evolves, reflects different values.
Steed v. Wilson is a great example of that.
It is.
So for anyone just tuning in or just needs a quick recap, what are the key takeaways from this deep dive?
Well, first, I think it shows that the battle over gun rights is not over. States are pushing back in creative ways.
Okay.
They're using history. They're using tradition.
Like each state's got its own story, right?
Yeah, their own values.
Uh-huh.
And second, State v. Wilson shows that cultural values can have real legal weight.
Yeah.
I mean, the spirit of aloha was a big part of this decision.
Yeah, it's so interesting how these kind of abstract ideas like peace and tranquility actually show up in a court ruling.
It is.
And lastly,
this case really highlights how dynamic federalism is in the U.S.
Right.
This push and pull between the states and the feds.
Yeah. And it's playing out in courtrooms across the country.
Yeah.
On these super controversial issues like gun control.
Definitely.
Well, this case has been really eye-opening. We've looked at legal arguments, history, and even philosophy.
It's a lot.
All tied to this tension between individual rights and community well-being.
It is.
Disagree. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap up? Something to kind of chew on?
I'd say think about how this case could apply to other issues.
Mm-hmm.
If cultural values can be used in gun control, could they also be used in debates about healthcare, education, or the environment?
That's a great question. And it's something we should all be thinking about. This case has been a journey, legal arguments, historical precedents, philosophical concepts, all exploring this tension between individual rights and the good of the community.
And it shows that law is about more than just rules. It's about the values we have as a society.
Mahalo for joining us, everyone. Hope you found it as insightful as we did. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the world around you.